Hosted by Claudio Cortez, this is Modern Macho, a gentleman's exploration and guide to being a man in today's society.
Welcome back to Modern Macho. This is your host, Claudio Cortez, with my beautiful co-host,
Sir Cedric Liggins. Thank you, Claudio.
Hi, sir. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me again.
I'm having you, or you're just part of this.
Oh, that's right. that's what the job application did say.
Oh, shit. So our guest today is a local Chicago rapper, hip-hopper, all around amazing guy.
Arousing.
Roy.
All around arousing, man.
Arousing.
Royal Kinsey. Mr. Kinsey, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Claudio Cortez?
I'm peachy.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me.
Maybe you should ask each other questions.
Hey, sir.
Hey, Roy. Over here. Hey, Roy. What's going on, man?
Let's acknowledge each other.
Nice. Okay.
What's going on?
So, Roy, you have a newish album, at least, Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah. It's about 6 months old this month.
We're late in the game, I know that much.
It's a little toddler right now.
And this is your second album?
This is my second album, correct.
Second album, very
mm-hmm.
cool.
Interesting.
The first one was called Keep the Receipt. The second one that we put out in September, Rookie of the Year.
Awesome. So for those of, I'm going to go ahead and maybe assume that maybe 59% of the audience don't know who you are. Who are you?
And I seen that question, and you told me you were going to ask me that. I'm Roy Kinsey. I'm a rapper, born and raised in Chicago.
Whereabouts?
I'm from the West Side. Division. Division of Pulaski is where I grew up. Uh-huh. North in Pulaski, did some more growing up. Diversity in Narragansett, did some more growing up.
Okay, so that's some growing up in Narragansett there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously we're talking about your albums, but what exactly do you do? You're rappers?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, is this a trick question? Yeah,
you kind of asked that before.
I'm a writer, poet, rapper, artist,
what are you
renaissance first? Man.
So a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I would say so.
So what would you say your main squeeze would be? You know, what would you really want to display to somebody? Like, let's say you're a job interview. You know, like what's your key quality that you want people to really kind of associate with yourself, especially when it comes to your albums, your poetry?
I think being honest, being a truth teller.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Telling a story. So, that would be the thing.
So would you say you're a lyricist? Like, you want people to like kind of focus
absolutely.
On like what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good, because a lot of you listen to the music nowadays and you really don't want to hear what they're saying.
Nowadays.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
How old are you?
You know, kids these days.
I was born in the 80s.
But it's very, very true. And we're younger guys. We're, you know, 27, 28. But we are, I think we're at a very important time, especially in music, because the music that we came up on and being the golden era of hip-hop music isn't being made like that anymore.
Right, yeah.
So absolutely, it's a these days kind of conversation, absolutely.
And so, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of start off with this bombshell of a question.
Okay.
So how'd you start rapping? What got you into the game?
I have a very musical family, and I was talking with some friends about it last night, just talking about, you know, family gatherings and how people do whatever they do, you know, during those family gatherings. So every Thanksgiving, Christmas, or just a regular get-together, if uh-huh. I go to my mom's house and we have wine, we have any drinks or anything, somebody's going to break out and start singing.
Right.
And we all have songs. We have assigned songs.
Okay.
Everybody has assigned songs.
What was your assigned song?
My assigned song, one of them is Everybody Knows by John Legend. I don't know if y'all know that song.
Yes.
Everybody Knows by John Legend.
Refresh your memories.
You want me to sing? I'm not going to sing.
Please,
no.
On. You got a mic in front of you.
Come to dinner first.
Take him to dinner. Take him to dinner first.
Come to dinner first. Everybody Knows.
I can
and live it up.
Yeah. Do you have a really big family?
I wouldn't. My father's side of the family is very big, but my immediate family, my mother's side of the family, we're an intimate group, but I wouldn't say that we're a large family at all. Actually,
I only asked that because my mother has 12 brothers and sisters.
Oh,
so we didn't have assigned songs, but we had like those child family talent. You know, shows during Christmas.
I'm always very envious of this because I grew up in a rather large family. Like, you know, on my mom's side, she had 9 brothers. Mm-hmm. My dad's side, there was 12 of them. And every family gathering was just more like an argument. There was no.
Was there tequila involved?
Well, we're Mexican, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was more like let's gather around the table, and I'm going to tell each one of you why I hate you. You're a piece of shit, and your daughter's a whore.
Our next episode, we should definitely go to the Cortez family.
It's all coming out.
Next holiday, Easter.
Oh shit,
Sunday,
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep that.
So
going.
Let's continue on this. So you started singing at family gatherings.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just been that kind of thing. I remember my mother writing the lyrics down to Whitney Houston songs when I was a short shorty, you know what I mean? Like 5, 6 years old. And then it's just gone on ever since then. Ever since then, I've just been singing. I've been a part of some type of musical act. And I think that when I got of age around 4th, 5th, 6th grade, then I started writing my own songs and listening to more rap.
Yeah.
And dubbing the 9 at 9 off of the radio and remembering the songs. And, you know what I mean? All of that.
Yeah. So what inspired you to make the transition from singing John Legend songs to rapping? I mean, do you have?
Oh, I was rapping way before I even knew about John Legend, but the thing about rap is that there was somewhat of a shame to be a rapper because it was, I mean, it's rap.
Whoa, really? Shame?
Yeah, what? I mean, there was I want to make sure that I'm saying this right, but there's kind of like a shame because people look at it like, oh, you're a rapper. Uh-huh. Like all of these other things that you could be doing with your life. So it's not until, like, it took me a lot of shows and a lot of raps and actually getting good to be like, oh yeah, I'm a rapper, and actually saying it with pride, because anything before then, it was just kind of like looked at as a hobby,
right?
And people
like
looked at it as like
nights,
oh, you're taking rap seriously,
you know? Yeah, open mic nights at like a local coffee shop or whatever that you kind of just sign up for.
Yeah,
you've evolved since then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? Kind of like from the bottom up.
Yeah, it took a lot of practice. I'm rehearsing for hours.
So, who are your inspirations in the rap game?
Jay-Z,
Hove,
of course. Number one.
What was okay? So I'm trying to figure out what exactly was the impetus that took you from, I'd say, like, taking music seriously at some point and then becoming deciding to evolve your life and make you a rapper. What made you want to become what inspired you to put these albums out?
I think I just really liked music, and I knew that I was good, and compliments never hurt. So when people tell you that you're dope, and people are around telling you that you should keep going with it, I think that that's probably something that had me going. Plus, it was just a feeling, and it's a feeling that I still get. If I make a really, really good song, before I even heard it, before I even like record it, if I'm writing it, and I just get a feeling, and I'll get a feeling like, fuck, that was dope.
That
you know what
really
I mean?
Good,
you
yeah.
have to remain humble at all right. times. You know what I mean? But I say that to myself all the time. Like, I can't believe you just said that shit. You know? And it's just, and I love getting that feeling. And there hasn't really been anything else that makes me feel that way outside of creating music and being
amazing.
Clever.
That's actually a really good point, because you have to really love your own music as a, you know, if you're going to give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So you connect with your music on a certain level, you know, and so it does whatever it does for you. What would you say, what would you want it to do to other people? Like, what do you, What's the message? What's the vibe? What's the feeling that you want people that are listening to your album, not only for the first time, but like, let's say your followers from your first album onto your second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you want people to take from, what was that? Keep the change? Oh, no.
Keep the receipt.
Keep the receipt.
You know what? You're rude. I'm about to leave.
Change. No, wait. We have a whole other bottle of wine.
The shade of it all.
Can't so what's the transition from keep the receipt to rookie of the year? Is every album a journey for you?
I mean, life is a journey, so of course, you know what I mean? But I would say that there are snapshots in time,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's what everybody's album is. That's what everybody's album is, because your album has to be relevant. You can be talking the most amazing shit. If nobody can relate to it, then it's irrelevant. So you have to do you have to do the right thing at the right time, I think.
I'm feeling that, because, you know, as a photographer, as a videographer, mm-hmm. you know, every shot that you take, you know, if you pause it or if you come back to it or whatever, like that shot or that little freeze frame has to be a complete composition. It has mm-hmm. to be a complete picture. Excuse me, if you stop any of your favorite movies at any particular point in time, even one in motion, you know, it's still going to be a completely composited image.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. And that subconsciously connects with your audience and the people that you're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, Roy. We have to display these messages. You know, we've got to connect. And that's pretty much what music, film, anything in art really is. It's just connecting with people that have never even really seen your face before, don't even know you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. And so what I would want people to get from my music is just a freedom and a liberation, I think, to not be me, but to be themselves.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Just to own whoever you are.
Because
mm-hmm. you ain't going to be able to be no other motherfucker. You might as well...
Might as well be you.
And be happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, so you brought up being yourself. And so I knowing you for a couple years at this point.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to bring up the point. So I know you're a member of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
When did you come out?
I came out, well, I've been coming out ever since I came out.
Yeah, no, I know everybody.
Because you just got to come out all the fucking time.
But as an artist, I
came out, I think, when I was around 22 or 23. As an artist, as a gay rapper, that's happening on this album, actually.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you did not know it, Roy Kinsey is a gay black rapper.
Yeah.
That is just like we have a unicorn in the building right now, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's
an out gay black rapper. Kind of touch base on this, because it's not every day that you encounter this, especially in the rap and hip hop community. So what was your experience?
Well,
I got enough.
It's still good. We're good.
All right. So what exactly was your experience coming out as a rapper? Because I know generally the hip hop community, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, is generally very machismo, and it's very...
Well, I don't know. Have you seen like Lil Wayne lately with his like zebra skin pants?
I know the diaper sag, but that doesn't mean you're gay. But what was your experience coming out as a rapper? Because I know that must be completely different than coming out as an individual.
I think actually putting it all together, it took me a while, because I knew that there were some things that I had to do, and I knew that I was a male already. I knew that I was black already, and then, you know, I knew I was a fucking rapper and I had to rap.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know what I mean? And that wasn't an op. Like, not rapping wasn't an option.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like I got to a point where I was just like, how the fuck am I going to pull this off? You know what I mean?
Well, obviously we're here today because you did.
Yeah.
All right, and you continue to do it.
I didn't even ask you guys if I could curse this much on your show.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely can.
Oh, okay.
tit balls.
That's not. Those aren't curse words.
Dick, fuck, ass, okay, bitch.
Cool. All right,
skank.
All right,
but
so
what I wanted to, Roy, we need to focus here.
We're gonna focus.
Yeah, need to focus.
So this is the time that I'm doing that I felt like it needed, like it really, really needed to happen for me. Mm-hmm. And I really just found more strength in just it had to be done, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And beyond me, it had to be done for a generation after me, you know, like because these people exist and these people really do exist. It's not like I'm just the first person.
Yeah.
Right. Can we we're going to go back a little bit. Can you touch upon like strength? Because, you know, you had mentioned that earlier, you know, the strength that you have, you know, to persevere and to keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you didn't always start out as strong. And in order to build strength, you know, you definitely got to work on it. And you have to really kind of struggle, you know, with pretty much the world, you know. Yeah. So do you mind talking a little bit about your struggles, how you gained the strength, the confidence in order to do what you're doing in order to be here right now with your insanely large glass of wine, you know, chilling?
A lot of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know many, many people really aren't keen on alone time. You know, a lot right. of people really don't like to be alone because they're scared of themselves. They're scared of their thoughts. Mm-hmm. They're scared. You know what I mean? But I really
I do.
But I was scared of alone time, but my father was kind of a loner, and he kind of made it look cool. So right. even as a shorty, I was just like, I'm a loner, you know what I mean? And so that's how it started. And then I around the time I went to college, you know, I had a single, and then I moved in with a roommate. I lived with him for a year, and then after that I got my own place, and it was a one bedroom. And I'm going back every day, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and I'm just really just chilling by myself and alone with my thoughts and really being like, who are you? Who do you want to be? Who do you need to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. it's all me. And I don't know. I just really just try to get things together. Like my meditation is mm-hmm. extremely important to me. That quiet time is extremely important right. to me.
Does that feed into your work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It feeds into my life. And so, ooh, yeah.
I like that.
So it's in tandem then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So that's basically where a lot of strength came from, because I think when your mind really isn't quiet and you don't really have that alone time,
mm-hmm.
You start coming from a place of neediness, I think, mm-hmm. and you're comparing yourself to the next person and the next person and the next person. And this is my experience. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? This isn't our experience. This isn't your experience. This is my experience. Mm-hmm. This is my life. You know what I mean? And so I think that's where that came from.
Interesting. So
that was
plus family. Plus family.
Plus family. Family. Yeah. That was an amazing answer. By the way,
yeah, absolutely,
for an amazing question. Like,
I told you ask good questions.
Don't worry.
You answer,
don't worry
so
about
you,
that.
Sir.
I got a whole list going. Let's go. Let's keep going.
Let's go.
Let's go. I got more.
Yes.
Okay. So let's continue on with the strength. As you know, Modern Macho is a show about modern machismo, like
yeah.
what it means.
Or, I mean,
to be.
Okay, I wouldn't go about to say machismo because that has really negative
which
connotations.
Which on a
I
side
like
note, I really, really commend you on, because I think that it's huge. I have a lot of Mexican friends, and that machismo is something that they
like feed off of.
Yeah, you
like,
know what I mean. Well, so no, for you to
don't be
to,
bashful,
to,
Claudio.
To have a platform of different types of machismo, and to even have me here,
well,
being gay is huge, and I don't know if you know how big it is, but it's extremely big to me.
Well,
and so thank you.
No, I mean, look, the pleasure obviously is entirely ours.
Oh yes, know? Definitely ours.
I mean, we came up with the concept because we know that there's no such thing as just a cutting board person, especially for a man. And I was exploring myself and my friends, and we're all men.
Mm-hmm.
We all possess machismo, because that's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it just means the essence of being a man.
Let's call that mojo.
No, let's call it machismo, because
or
that's
machismo.
The name of the show.
Or machismo. I just got knocked down 5 minutes for saying machismo, and now you're all for it. Okay, go ahead.
I don't
go
know.
Ahead. Highlight
I
it.
Don't
Highlight
know.
It. Enjoy the spotlight. Do it.
I will.
I love you too.
So, no, no. I mean, I essentially just think machismo is the thing that makes you a man. And so, now here's a question that we kind of have to ask you.
Yeah.
Being on the show, what makes you a man, Roy? What defines your manliness?
What makes you the man?
Exactly.
What makes me?
I mean, you're the man. You're here. You're on the
you're the man.
The spotlight.
Well,
the spotlight
one of those things. One of the things that made me a man is basically saying that I'm the motherfucking man, and you're not going to be able to tell me that I'm not.
Yeah,
that's the first thing.
Yeah,
me knowing, just being like.
Right, you already
I just,
know.
Yeah, I just told
about,
you. I told
about
you about
to
my.
You know.
This is my experience.
Right. Okay.
And you can't tell me that I'm not a man. That's the first thing. The second thing is doing what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I
what,
think
what does that
you know
mean?
What I mean. It's just it's responsibility, but it goes so much further than that, because I think that we're all born with a personal journey and a, you know what I mean, something that's yours, something that you have to do, something that you're here for.
Definitely.
And so that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I really feel like I have to.
Yeah,
I feel like I have to be this out gay black rapper from Chicago and really do it, and nothing is going to be left in the background. Nothing's on the back burner. You know what I mean? All of those things were absolutely necessary, and they all played, you know, play a part in my everyday life.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. That's the thing that I feel like makes me a man is owning every part of me, owning my past, my mistakes, all of those things, just responsibility, accepting it. You know what I mean? Just all of those things. That's what I define as manly.
Yet another grade A, class A answer, Roy Kinsey.
That's an A triple plus right there. I'm going to venture to say you're one of the better guests we've had.
Shut up.
Don't say that. What are the other guests? The other guests are going to hear.
Name
don't
names?
Say that.
That's terrible.
Don't say that, Marco Castro.
He didn't mean that. No shade.
So, Roy, back to your work.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Sam's my
Thanks,
awesome
Sam.
Other best friend from kindergarten.
Sam's the man.
Okay.
Uncle
well,
Sam.
I just got it myself.
Uncle Sam
Thank
at
you.
These points, right? So, other than your work, what do you think is the most prolific piece of art that you've ever made? I mean, besides...
Other than music?
Yeah, no. Besides, it could be poetry or artwork in general.
Oh, I used to paint in high school, and it sucks because, like, the last day of school, I had my portfolio, and I left it in my algebra class, and I came back, and this is work. This is work. Oh, sorry. This is work. This is right here. This is work that, you know, that I've been doing.
We're talking about painting?
Yeah, right. Painting. Yeah. Painting and just being an artist, because we didn't paint the whole time. Of course, it was just different mediums of art.
Right. Yeah.
But,
Where'd you go to high school?
And I left it. I left it in my algebra class, and the next day it was gone. My whole portfolio.
Who
was,
would take a portfolio full of art?
It was gone.
The janitor.
Yeah,
and I'm a Libra.
Actually.
You know what I mean? So like my eye just has to catch beauty.
Yeah.
And so I'm a great artist, and that shit is gone, and I'm furious about it. I did a painting, a really big painting, off of the book. Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
And it's completely tangential, by the way.
Well. For our viewers that don't know it,
or our
namely our listeners,
don't ask me about that book.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking Claudio. Hey.
And what artist? What teacher makes you? What art teacher makes you read a big ass book? Have you seen?
Mine did. Okay.
I know a few that did.
I
went to Lane Tech.
I went to. Are we talking about high school?
Yeah.
Archbishop Quigley Preparatory Seminary.
De La Salle Institute.
I'm a Quigley man. That's he gay as hell.
Your school isn't there anymore.
Yeah, no.
They
both
closed Quigley down?
Yeah, they did. The building's still there. It's a beautiful building.
They closed Hogwarts. Yeah, back in 07, they closed it down.
Hogwarts.
It looks like Hogwarts.
It felt like Hogwarts.
Listeners out there, if you're curious, Google beautiful. Archbishop Quigley Preparatory Seminary. You will see the Chicago version of Hogwarts. So what we're getting at is...
Right on the Mag Mile.
Yeah. So, awesome, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee was a story of the Trail of Tears, which was a terrible thing happened to... It's a narrative of the terrible thing that happened to the Native Americans of this country, bestowed upon them by our President Andrew Jackson, a.k.a. Old Hickory. It was
Old Hickory.
Ridiculously graphic.
It was graphic.
Okay, and I had to read it in middle school, actually, which is because I had a super hippie teacher, and he was like, "You guys have to know what it means to be American." And to this day, I kind of agree with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you're
you know,
right.
If you're going to be like, "Yeah, USA," you should probably know what your country did. Tangent aside, right? So you're burying my heart at Wounded Knee, piece.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, it was just one of those things. It never made it home. It never made it out of lane. I mean, it made it out of lane. It just wasn't in my hands.
Right.
Coming out of lane.
It was
somebody
else.
I might have known you for a little longer than I might think I have. When did you graduate from lane?
2004.
Okay.
Class of 2004. Yep.
Do you know Jack Ortega?
Nope.
Oh, never mind that. How about Cat Hato?
No.
Oh.
Do you know Adam?
From Metrovox?
No. Oh, what is his last name? Whatever, I forgot.
He didn't have one. He's kind of been around for a while.
Anyway, this entire lane tag, this last
two minutes
will be edited out because it was irrelevant.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean,
you gotta love the beauty of editing. Awesome. But, okay, so what we can talk about, we've talked about your passions. We've talked about, what it means to be a man. And one of the main things that I think I'll carry with me forever is that you have to own everything that you are. You know, just own it. If it's good or bad, yeah, I know it's bad, but it's mine.
Yeah.
I know it's good,
but
it's mine.
I mean, if it's something
mine.
That you can't change, like if you, I mean, just come on.
And why would you change it?
It's you. I mean, if it's like, we can all use improvements. I'm not talking about that. Like, I don't want you to be like, oh, I'm a dick and I'm going to be a dick for the rest of my life. You know what I mean?
Like,
I was born that way.
If there's inherent,
born a dick. Yeah.
If there's inherent things about you, I personally don't think that it should change because that's you.
You, and you're an individual and you were made up of these... You were made up of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's only one of you. There's only one of you. Like, come on.
Okay.
We need you.
Okay. Let's take the one Roy Kinsey, and then let's put him in a situation where he had to be the man. Like, what is the most manliest thing that you can say that you've ever done? You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily an action. It could be like a, like you said, it's to provide, it's to own who you are. It could be a comment. Somebody says, well, We're not going to allow you in this club because you're gay or whatever. You
who
can
the
be
fuck
like
says that.
Clubs love us. the clubs fucking love us.
I mean, hell yeah, they
do.
From Chicago,
you bring all the girls.
I don't really know. I don't really know. I'm not really sure about that. Like, that's kind of a tough question for me. I'm not really sure
like
about
one instance where like you had to. Well, let's say if you were in like reserve.
No.
Are they coming out as a?
We're not even doing that. I mean, the base question that we generally ask is, what's the manliest thing you've ever done, in your opinion?
By whose standards?
By your own.
By my own standards.
By Chuck Norris's standards.
I mean, personally, my standard. If you're going to ask
Brew
me,
a beard.
Yeah.
if you're going to ask me what the manliest thing you've ever done, I think it's releasing 2 rap albums and growing a beard. But that's just me because that's 3 things I can't do.
So. It would be making a rap album with a big beard and being gay.
With that beard,
being a black gay male from Chicago and letting everybody know that and putting that shit on the table is the manliest thing that I've ever done.
Hurrah, that's why you're here.
Yes, okay, so now we're going to do the customary.
Now we're going to do the customary cheers.
Okay. Nice.
That is the beautiful Modern Machos. Cheers. Cheers, Mr. Kinsey.
Thank you.
And only men can do this.
Sir.
Roy.
Claudio. I'd like to ask you another question, just because I'm not going to lie.
I'm sorry. It's like, yeah.
You got to get the significant other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who aren't here,
Dominic.
Dominic is Roy's boyfriend. He's a cool guy.
He's got a very shiny head. It's definitely fresh.
Quite frankly, I think you guys are those Chicago couple. You're South Side Polish, you're West Side Black. It's,
neighboring neighborhoods. It was bound to happen. It's okay. Like I said, unicorn.
Yeah, right.
We got it.
I told you it's only one me.
Yeah, there's only one.
There's only one. It ain't for everybody.
No. It's so funny. On one of our questions here, we got, what is your spirit animal? And
yeah, let's hear you answer that.
Yeah, do you have a spirit animal? Do you know your actual spirit animal?
No.
Let's call it a unicorn.
No, it never does.
No, I know a friend who does. I know a friend who does. His spirit animal is a hawk.
How do you find that out?
There's like a Native American sort of meditation that you go through.
Really?
It's actually really cool. And not expensive.
Taking peyote and wandering in the woods.
That's something a little different, Claude. But
that scares me a little bit.
Definitely down to do
that.
But
it sounds like it could be beautiful as well.
It's a beautiful experience. So the meditation is it basically, before you even get in there, they separate the real world with the spiritual world.
Okay.
Because you as a person, as you grow older, you get so wrapped up in responsibilities and pretty much, you know, your version of the world, Chicago Blackhawks. But you get that version of the world, and you get obsessed into that, and therefore leaving part of your childhood, your innocence behind, you know, because you have to become hard, you have to face these things, and you can no longer face them with, you know, the eyes of a child.
Yeah.
Because you can get hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And what this Native American sort of ceremony, this meditation is it reintroduces you to that spiritual side.
It's very beautiful.
In which case, mm-hmm. you know, a guide will take you to get your spirit animal. And the spirit animal is going to take you to that innocence, that child or that person that you have to talk to in your mind.
Okay.
But because not everyone has done that, here at Modern Macho, we take that as, if you were an animal, what would you be?
Let's rearrange that question next time.
Elephant.
Look, who do you know that has been on a spiritual journey?
I would be an elephant.
And why?
Because they have good memories.
That's true. They do. They're one of the smartest animals alive.
That's a fact. But so if we were to draw a caricature of Roy Kinsey, it would be an elephant.
Well,
would you keep
those
the
are
nose?
Different questions.
Would you keep the nose, Roy?
Okay, no. So imagine, you know, this is the Lion King and we're all characters. You are the...
I think I'd be
the... In the Lion King? I mean, yeah. I just feel like everybody, if they feel like they're strong and this artist and all this shit that they are,
everybody
automatically go
the
to the lion. Everybody wants to be the lion. Yeah, of course.
But you got the mane.
I'm that cheetah in the beginning.
You could be the lion.
I could...
But who,
I could.
Who
I just have the heart of a lion, though. I have the heart of a lion, but I like the elephant. I like the elephant.
I think the elephant's cool.
Yeah,
I'd be the mouse that would scare the shit out of all you elephants. You know, because size doesn't matter.
Are right elephants there. Scared of?
No, not in real life. No, they would definitely would definitely kill me.
Not in real life.
No, but in my mind. But
yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's. We're gonna advance here. We're gonna move on with our questioning because we have a lot to go through.
Okay, no, yeah. It's fine. We're here.
Definitely. Okay. So
besides hip hop, what's your passion?
Yes.
Besides hip hop, what's my passion?
Okay, and actually, let me clarify now that I've said it. Are you a rapper or a hip hopper?
Mm-hmm.
One, then two.
Well, I'm a rapper.
Okay.
I'm a rapper, but, you know, rap is a part of hip hop, but you know, there's a bunch of people who are hip hoppers that aren't rappers.
We could be here all night talking about that.
We could, but I'm definitely a rapper. And like I told you before, as far as like owning that and taking that definition back as a rapper, you know what I mean, and having some pride with it, I'm proud to be a rapper because rap, you know, like I don't know if you know, but when rap first started, they said it was the black man CNN, and so. I'm very much talking about everything that needs to be talked about right now. So I'm a rapper. I'm definitely a rapper, and rap is a part of hip hop. So I'm both, but they're not separated.
I agree. I
just want to point out. Compton. I see your hat.
Just want to throw that out
there.
Yeah.
No. You have to throw it out there.
I know about the Black Man CNN.
He rocks it.
Black Man CNN, absolutely.
They
were the ones who said it.
That was Eazy-E's words.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Black Man CNN.
Yeah.
Let's get into that just because I'm bored.
Okay.
Keep going.
Oh, I just got it.
I'm just fucking with you.
No, it's cool.
I've got like two amazing questions right after.
Okay.
So let's dive back into music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or Eazy-E.
Like how awesome Eazy-E was. Don't you want a Jerry Curl? I want one.
I had one for a while. It's not so awesome.
Real nice
that was
right
definitely
now.
Something in the '80s. It just doesn't work. Unless I had the, I could
messy.
Rock the shit.
Roy Kinsey, you got to bring the greasy back.
No, I'm keeping this. nice and short.
Nice and short. Easily manageable.
Keep it cute.
Easily manageable. You do not know nappy hair, Claude.
Keep it cute. I'm not trying to.
That's right. Keep it cute, man.
Keep it cute.
So diving back into music, you had released your first album. When did you release your first album?
That was in 2010, September of 2010. That was my 20. Oh, I hope I get this right. My 25th birthday. So when I turned 25,
you released it.
I released "Keep the Receipt."
Okay, and then a year later, Two years later.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, now you're releasing.
No, he already released.
You released
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
Which, by the way, pardon me, tangent. The most amazing marketing effort as a marketing professional. Roy released baseball cards. You all know baseball cards with his picture on them, and those were his stickers that he released everywhere all over the city of Chicago. They're everywhere. They're amazing. Rookie of the Year. Look for it
if
at your local
ever.
All-stop.
I can only speak for the men in our audience. But if you travel to like the Abbey Pub, Simone's, or pretty much any very popular bar, and you head to a urinal, you're gonna see that Roy Kinsey Rookie of the Year sticker
in the men's restroom.
Yeah. Plastered somewhere in there. You've seen it. You just might not know.
Right next to the big red G.
Dos Amos. We have two
shameless
very
plug.
Big branders here.
Yeah.
There is no
absolutely.
Shame.
No. Here. Cheers, sir. Thank you.
Boom.
I love being appreciated. Honestly. I really
definitely.
Do. So thank you.
Oh, you can't just leave me out, Roy. I'm just saying. Now we got to cheers.
No,
all
I saved
around.
The best for last.
No, that's right. Thanks. Good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? All right. So you released your first album last year. You released your second album earlier this year. And
Let's say this right.
Oh.
He released his first album in 2010.
You released it 2 years after your first album. Then you released your second album.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I in my head, you've been on this like... music hurricane, and you've just been kicking ass and
but
taking
that's
names.
Not happening. So what happened was, in 2010, you released your first album.
Yes.
Keep the Receipt. Badass name. I apologize. It wasn't Keep the Change.
It's all right.
Well, that's
album.
What the beauty of editing is.
Second album.
We're going to definitely know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
We?
Second album was Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your show Friday night.
Yeah.
With DJ Castle.
Yes.
Friday, the what date is that?
That was Friday, March 22nd.
The 22nd.
So 4 days ago.
4 days ago. Tell us a little bit about that. Did you like the vibe? Was it a good show? You know, is this your first time working with DJ Castle?
No.
Really?
No. Me and DJ Castle, we went to college together, and he produced the majority of the tracks on Keep the Receipt. He produced a few tracks on...
Would you say you guys are partners in crime?
Yeah, that's my homie. Absolutely. He gave me my first rap money.
That would be that's a professional. Yeah, that's a big deal.
He made me a professional. Definitely. Yeah, I did a rap show and he gave me money for it. He was the first one to do that.
What's his proper name?
Nick Castle.
Nick Castle. Wow, that's very powerful.
Oh, Castle is his real name for sure.
Yeah.
And Roy means king, so it only makes sense.
Wait. Nick Castle.
I don't know if you know him. He went to DePaul, though.
He sounds familiar. I think super
familiar. He DJs at a live one every Friday and Saturday.
Oh, I know that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow.
Small world.
One, two, three, go.
Edit.
Yeah. That's cool. I kind of like that. You should leave that in there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
yeah. We're leaving our collective DePaul experience in this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what the point that I was getting is that, you know, you didn't do this, you know, you said you spent a lot of time alone to like really kind of focus on who you are and, you know, how you want to project yourself, kind of like the game plan, you know, and then your friend Nick Castle comes in and then you guys just kind of team up and then did he help produce your second album as well?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best songs on there, the song that I finish with every show is called Escalators, and he produced that track along with a few other ones. The What Kind of Life Is This that we listened to,
mm-hmm.
he produced that. So
can you tell us about maybe the creative process when it comes to you guys, you know, banging heads together trying to produce a track? Does he come with a sort of beat in line, or you guys kind of meet together to talk about what you want to accomplish in a certain
this
track?
This last album, and it's upon its completion, actually.
Uh-huh.
This is honestly the first time where we're really talking a lot about mm-hmm. what we want, the outcomes, what we need to do. This uh-huh. is kind of the first time. I can say,
so
and no shame and no shade, but it's kind of been like, yo, you know, I'm rapping, I want to work on another album, and Castle, you got some beats.
Like,
let me rap on these beats. There's nothing too profound. I'm not going to sit here and like lie and make up a great story over those last two albums. He had some beats and I rapped on them.
But
he's my friend. He's always been my friend. But now we're both
you
getting into
him.
That mode. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, he's the one. I don't really make an album without DJ Castle's input. I knew this next album that I'm making now, I'm kind of being like, Roy, you know, you're a big boy. You can't.
Mm-hmm. You can do
this on your own. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you can consult Castle and ask him some things and ask his expertise, because I do feel like he DJs every Friday and Saturday night, and I think he's an amazing DJ, one of the best mm-hmm. that I've ever seen, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he gets the play that he should, but that's why I go and I always check with him, because I really do feel like he has a knowledge about music that many people don't have.
All right, so your next album, what's the theme? Or do you have a theme to your albums?
No.
There you go.
Only beautiful. Beautiful
only,
music.
Only
beautiful only. That's the theme. It's also the name.
You know, if I was to
I really don't. I can't say that I have a theme. I think the theme was the time, and within these last probably 6 to 9 months, I went like, I don't know. I don't know. I had a transformation of my life. I would want to say.
Would that reflect in your album, or perhaps in
to
the
me
way,
it does.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know uh-huh. if it would with anybody else. I hope it does. The album hasn't come out yet. A lot of people really haven't heard the songs, but yeah, I know 100% that I went through something extremely profound with the release of Rookie of the Year and this next album that's coming out.
Like,
absolutely.
Kind of like how you change, so does your music. And
yeah.
Well, awesome.
Yeah.
That's my period. Like, fucking awesome. That's it. All right, next question. Awesome.
Well, you know,
you're making me want to start a rap album. Like, I really do. Like, I feel like I need to lock myself.
You got a good name.
You got
a good name to be a rapper.
I DJed for about 6 months, and I called myself DJ Surreal.
Okay. Surreal.
Surreal.
Word.
Yeah, it was. Well, I didn't do much. But
sorry.
Anyway, I'm definitely. I want to produce one. Like, I'm feeling. Like, I feel like connected in the sense, especially with the interview, you know, you coming up, you coming out, you coming onto stage. You know,
coming on everything.
Everything. It's just.
It's out and everything.
It's just. Oh my God. It's just, Roy, it's just come everywhere.
Oh my God. That was.
Everywhere.
That was good. That was good.
He was waiting for that. I was waiting for that.
That was great.
So the point is.
Funny guy.
Mr. Kinsey.
That was funny.
Mr. Roy Kinsey.
Yeah.
Roy Royale Kinsey, a.k.a. Big Baby Jesus. We very much appreciate you having on our show today.
Oh, man.
But that being said, there's one question that we ask every single one of our guests, no matter who they are. And take it as you will, but we do need an answer.
It's something that just has to be done.
Okay.
Let's just get it out.
It's very important to both of us. So... Batman or James Bond?
Oh,
and why?
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want sexy versus ugly black suit?
Obviously.
James Bond, Casino Royale.
Mr. Kinsey?
That's a good one.
You're the first guest to agree with me.
There's been five others that have been said Batman, but it's okay. I think
I'm from Gotham City. So am I. I've never heard those two compared to one another. That was great.
I think it needs to be kind of fleshed out a bit. So, Batman and James Bond both have the same superpower: unlimited money and gadgets.
Word.
One, James Bond doesn't have unlimited money. MI6 has all the money. Who he works for, because James Bond has a boss. So continue.
Anyhow. So he made his answer.
Sir, that's why. You're going to keep it and you're not going to argue it.
Okay, let's argue it. Let's argue it then. So why James Bond over Batman?
Because he just fly as fuck.
Yeah, he is. James Bond is pretty fly. In any argument, I will always concede James Bond looks better. James Bond gets hella more women than Batman does. But that's it. That's it.
I'm a huge fan. That's why I was torn because in the superhero world,
James Bond works.
It's always the Dark Knight.
It's always the
best. But when you compare the two, I actually have to go with James Bond for sure.
Roy, I still love you, and I'm happy that you said that, because Claudio here deserved
one.
Deserved one.
I was the one.
You were the one.
There's only one Roy.
Only one, only one Roy. That's right. Special.
Le Roy d'Europe.
Is that
King
German?
King of rap in French, man.
Oh, that's French.
Look at you. Look at you. Dominic, your glass makes a nice sound. Yeah.
We'll cheers again very soon.
So here we have it. Roy, thank you very much. Where can...
Yes,
are you
thank
done
you.
With me right now? Is that what's happening?
It's been... How long has it been?
It's been about an hour.
It's been 47 minutes.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
No, so the point being, Roy, we love having you. Where can we find you? Where can our guests find you? Where can we find Roy Kinsey's music besides out of the trunk of your car?
There's a lot of videos that people haven't seen and they need more views on YouTube. So youtube.com/Roy Kinsey Music.
Do you have a SoundCloud?
I do have a SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com/Roy Kinsey.
What's your website?
There's a Bandcamp where you can download Rookie of the Year, and that's roykinsey.bandcamp.com.
It's a great
and is that free?
Yeah. It's free.
Class?
I mean, you have the option of giving me money because this shit is not free.
Support your artists.
Support your local artists. Chicago rent.
Well, you can definitely download it for free.
I do. I've made a complete switch. I don't pirate music anymore. I now definitely drop the 8 bucks.
That's very good.
Required by certain websites for high quality and good music.
Word.
Which is Roy Kinsey.
Which is.
I have some good music that's beautifully packaged in the car if y'all want to do that tonight.
We'll talk.
And follow me on Twitter at Roy Kenzie.
Follow him on Twitter, guys.
Follow me on Twitter at Roy Kenzie. I'm also on Facebook, Roy Kenzie. Facebook, Roy Kenzie. Just
why don't you just type in Google? Go to Google.com and just search.
Yeah, I don't
Roy
really
want to
give out my emails.
Don't,
because I don't really know who.
No, don't email.
You know what I mean,
just,
I don't want nobody to be spamming me up.
Google Roy Kenzie.
I also have a Tumblr that is looking very, very nice these days, and it's Roy Kenzie.
The Tumblr.com/RoyKenzie. Roy Kenzie. Hey, bro, I've got one more question. Like, let's say if we want to see you live, you know, do you have any live performances coming up?
Yeah,
are you looking?
I have a show this Saturday with my girl Deja K. Taylor.
Okay, do you have a date on that for us?
Yeah, it's never mind.
Now, wait,
but
what?
The next one, I'll be at Parlor April 20th. Which is 420.
I know that.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a great
parlor.
Night.
I'll be at Parlor.
Is that intentional?
Shut up.
I'll
be at Parlor April 20th. I can't let you guys know the date and location of my listening party, but you guys are definitely invited, so I'll tell you when we
aren't
recording. So let's look forward to April 20th. Oh, and I'll also be April 18th, I'll be at Tonic Room.
Oh, okay. April 18th.
April 18th, I'll be at Tonic Room. That's a Thursday. I'll be with Rich Jones and some other cats.
That's all in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, okay, but the best thing for anybody to do is follow me on Twitter at Roy Kenzie. Follow me on Instagram at Roy Kenzie, and there is no way that you'll ever be out of the loop because I am a shameless and relentless self-promoter. And
he is.
You will definitely
let
know
me just say this.
What I'm doing.
I think Roy Kenzie is probably one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram.
Oh, well, constantly update.
Constant update. It's
always
really
something
interesting
to look at.
Content. He never posts those dumbass. What are those
bitches be like?
Yeah, exactly. Those stupid, word things.
Mimes.
Memes. Yeah, no. He's a live picture poster.
I'm a classic guy. I'm a classy guy.
Very
exactly.
Classy.
The man knows Instagram.
Yeah,
it's all
a very classy.
I told you, beautiful shit only. Beautiful only.
A very
My
classy
eye only catches what's
very
beautiful.
Classy. Roy Kenzie, a very
out.
Classy guy. A very classy man here on Modern Mancho.
Modern Mancho. Modern Macho. I apologize. Y'all had me drinking too much wine. Modern Macho. Thank you, gentlemen.
Today's show brought to you by Red Wine. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Just Red Wine.
Red Wine.
Nobody's name. Just Red Wine.
Just Red Wine in
That's
general.
It.
Thanks for joining us. Once again, this is Modern Macho. You can find us on gozamos.tv. I'm your host, Claudio Cortez, with...
I am your co-host, Sir Cedric Liggins, and it's a pleasure as always.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to find us, modernmacho@gozamos.com, modernmacho at gozamos.com.